Lecture 29, China, Zhu to the Han.
In the previous lecture, we looked at the origins of Chinese civilization, and we made a number of important points about it. Firstly, we mixed legend with history. We talked about the Hia, the Shang, and the Shu. We showed how the archaeology basically confirms, to some degree, the legend. We talked about the omnibus name of the Shang civilization. And we looked at some of the subdivisions of the society. And we made an important point, that at the time when Shang dynasty ruled, there were probably all sorts of small states in northern China competing with one another. A patchwork, a word we've used a lot in this course, of different political units who were all vying for power and prestige. And it seems that things like warfare were relatively common. And we ended the lecture with the collapse of the Shang dynasty in 1027 BC. In this lecture, we take the story a little further. And we cover the period between the collapse of the Shang and the collapse of the great Han dynasty, or that stage of Chinese civilization, at about the time of Christ. In the first part of this lecture, I'm going to describe the Western and Eastern Shu periods, a time at which densely populated cities appeared in northern China. It was also a time of intense, even endemic, warfare. Then we'll review very quickly the Warring States period of the late first millennium BC, which culminated in one of the defining moments of Chinese history, the first unification of the whole of China under the Emperor Qin Shi Huangdi in 221 BC. And we'll show how the lavish outliers of his tomb, terracotta regiments, carts, and many other things, reveal something not only about the way he waged war, but about the lavishness of his court. And then finally, we'll summarize the achievements of the Han dynasty, which brought China in contact with the West via the ancient Silk Route of Central Asia, and with India by connecting to the ancient monsoon wind routes of the Southeast Ocean, Asia. In other words, we're going to go back to this persistent theme of interconnectedness. In Lecture 28, we saw how urban clusters and states first developed in northern China during the time of the Xia and Shang dynasties, during the period about 2000 to 1027 BC. As I said also, archaeologically, the material remains of these dynasties, such as we know about them, are grouped under the generic archaeological label of the Shang civilization. Now, the third of these legendary dynasties was the Shu. These people were firmly rooted in history, and the rival Shu dynasty overthrew the last Shang ruler in 1027 BC. For the next 2.5 centuries, the centralized government imposed by the Shang disintegrated as subject kingdoms pulled themselves away from the very loose central authority of the Shang dynasty. This was called the Western Shu period. It was followed in 770 BC by the Eastern Shu period, a time when the rulers of the day, for reasons that we don't understand, moved their capital eastward. It was also a time of dramatic changes in Chinese society. You'll recall that the capital of the Shang and Yang was a very spread out place. It covered about 4 miles. But now things have changed. For the first time, you find classic crowded cities in the classical sense appearing. It was also a time not only of overcrowded cities, but a moment when ironworking technology came into widespread use, affecting military strategy and agriculture. And a time also when trade expanded exponentially, to the point where for the first time we find coinage being used to standardize transactions and the values of items and commodities.